When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour podcast. This is where we gather up all our best bits from our live Saturday night show on Talk Radio. Now in this segment, we're going to share with you our badass balls up section. But first, we've got a great interview with Meredith and Gabby about their collaboration to produce macaroons that look like tampons to help support Gabby's charity, Bloody Good Period. And then the girls stayed with us for our badass balls up section, where we shared advice for our own problems. We talked about how to handle rejection, how to make sure you're being productive on the right things. And Natalie asked, should you always finish? 1, 2, 3, 4!
Now, we're going to talk about one of our favourite things, which is periods. Vaginas and periods. Because we are joined by Meredith and Gabby, founders of campaign Bloody Good Period, which tackles period poverty. Those of you that listen know that we love Gabby. She's been our badass of the week a few times, called onto the show. We're going to dive straight in because I actually want to eat one of the macaroons.
Yeah, they've brought macaroons in. So, where should we start? There's so much to talk about.
Let's start at the macaroons while I eat one. What's the macaroons all about?
This is Meredith. I have a company called Ooh La La Macarons. And I also...
Is it macarons?
Yes. Macarons is French.
God, I always say macaroons.
Yeah, no, I didn't until I realised
macaron,
that was common.
Macarons. Yeah. So I'm an entrepreneur. I have a macaron company, but I also have a creative agency that works with brands and organisations. And I like creating things that start conversations. And I came up with the idea. I read about the amazing work that Gabby was doing with Bloody Good Period. And I was really shocked and outraged, not only about the whole concept of period poverty and the fact that some women in the UK can't afford sanitary protection each month, but also with the idea that people just are embarrassed to talk about periods in general. And I just think it's an absolute outrage. So I approached Gabby and I said, I want to create something that's going to get people talking, and I'm going to use a company that I have, and I'm going to create tampon macarons. And I was a bit nervous when I reached out to her because I was a little bit like, might she think it's too much? And she immediately got back to me and was like, it's amazing, let's do it. So I created the tampon macarons to raise funds for Bloody Good Period, but also to raise awareness of the fact that period poverty is such a big issue in this country.
And so to take a step back, because I was just diving into the box, I forgot to say that your company is called Ooh La La.
Yep.
Ooh La La. And you are Meredith O'Shaughnessy.
Yes.
Yes. I just wanted to eat the what's in front of me.
It's got that time of night, isn't
exactly.
It? Sugar levels
back
low.
To the beginning. Okay. And so, you know, how do you wake up one day and get to that point? Because there are lots of campaigns that you could have taken on.
I like attacking issues which people might think are embarrassing, but I think that we should all be talking about. And I think the way that Gabby talks about periods and the way that she's approached Bloody Good Period is just so inspiring. And really, we should be able to talk about periods openly. You know, 50% of the population have periods. It's something that when people can't talk about things like menstruation and periods, it actually kind of contributes to shame generally and a silencing of women, which is a much bigger issue on top of that. So it's really looking at these problems and then thinking about how you can address them in a creative way, in a fun way, in a way that's going to capture people's imagination. And it actually wasn't that big a leap. Maybe that's just the way my brain works, but I was like, what can I do that's going to really just get people talking? And here we are talking about
them. And what's been the reaction to your macaroons?
It's been actually really positive. I was really surprised that some people, when I first said I was going to do them, were like, oh, you shouldn't do that and it'll be bad for your company and it potentially will have some backlash. And actually the reaction has been universally positive, even to the point where I was in a black taxi when I first launched them and I was talking to a cab driver about them. And he was like, I think that's a great idea. He was like, the reason why men can be embarrassed about periods is because they don't get the opportunity to talk about them enough. And actually, if we were given more opportunity to just have them as a part of a normal conversation, I think it would be less of a problem. And I'm like, well, if the cabbies of London can get behind my tampon macarons, then I think anybody can.
Love it.
And so in the notes, I've got, they're handmade in Bloomsbury.
Yep.
And I think that there's almost a contradiction in the narrative. So you've got delicate white macaron shells filled with fresh vanilla raspberry or rose buttercream and finished with an authentic and edible blue string of raspberry. Each box of eight will contain two bloodied red tampon macarons.
Exactly. That's the point. It's the juxtaposition between the two, which I find really interesting. It's the idea of taking something which is a luxury product. You know, when you think about the tax, the VAT on sanitary protection, there's 20% VAT on sanitary protection, but actually macarons are VAT free. So you don't pay VAT on the tampon macarons that I've made. And how outrageous is that? Something that's utterly frivolous. And so it was really taking this thing which is really beautiful, like macarons are very beautiful, and you can see we've packaged them up in a gorgeous gift box and, you know, beautiful ribbon, and people have been gifting them to their friends, and, you know, we've had mostly kind of, you know, men buying them for their girlfriends and things like that. But it's that, which is this kind of really luxurious product, but look, using it to kind of start a really valuable conversation.
I can't believe there's no VAT on macarons. But that is outrageous. I mean, the VAT on sanitary wear is outrageous, but the fact, no.
Sorry, so tell us, where does the money go?
So £10 from each box goes directly to Bloody Good Period to help support them and to buy sanitary protection for refugees, asylum seekers and women on low income, and to support the incredible work that Gabby and her team do, because she has this incredible organisation of women that just support her with the work that she does.
Yeah, so to the flip side, someone calls you up and says, this is what I want to do. I mean, what's your immediate response?
Oh, I mean, when Meredith got in touch and was like, I'm going to do bloody tampons, I was like, yes. Like, I think I even wrote to you like straight away. I was like, this is exactly what we do. Like, I mean, we called ourselves Bloody Good Period for a reason, not because because we wanted people to feel a little bit shocked and to be like pushed into talking about it. And so when Meredith was like, I'm going to do these bloody tampons, I was like, perfection. Because the people that get offended by them, they can sit and be offended, but, you know, their sensibilities are hurt. But I always think, like, well, do you know what? More offensive are the people sitting there having to scrub blood out of their knickers, basically. That's much more offensive to my sensibilities. So, you know, more bloody tampons everywhere, please. You know, so much better.
Gabby, can we rewind a little bit? Because Natalie, she's, you know, a massive fan of yours. But could you, for some of our listeners who are not familiar with Bloody Good Period, perhaps haven't heard you on our show before, can you tell us a bit more about the movement, how it started and where it is today?
Sure. Well, I started October 2016. So I'm a creative, I guess a social change creative. That's sort of what I decided to call myself. I was volunteering at a drop-in centre, an asylum seeker drop-in centre in North London. And I was sent the list of all the things that they were going to be collecting. And there were no period supplies on there. And when I asked if they were going to be collecting them, there was just this sort of almost just embarrassment. Oh, we don't really give them out, or we only really give them out in an emergency. And that was my exact reaction. It was the moment that they said, we only give them out in an emergency. I was like, every period without a tampon is an emergency, regardless of who you are, your socioeconomic status, you know, where you are in the world. So straight away, I just decided to start collecting. So I put a little thing on Facebook just to my friends and family saying, can you all just come along and drop some pads off at my house, or, you know, can you send some? I think I expected a few people to get involved and then maybe it was something I would carry on, but within the month I think I had thousands and thousands of pads at my house, and that is how I lived for a year. So just amongst the period paraphernalia. And then pretty quickly, though, I set up it as an organisation, as Bloody Good Period, and we're about to become a charity. We've got over 100 volunteers, which is incredible. And I should point out, the reason that we decided to specialise mostly on with asylum seekers is because they only receive £37 a week to live on, and that is it. They're not allowed to work. They're not even allowed to volunteer very much. So period supplies, they're not cheap. Like Meredith was saying, they're taxed. And they will always come to the bottom of a woman's list. So we decided they absolutely have to be free for these people. And then everybody else, it will become free for everybody else if you're looking after the most marginalised people. Mm. And periods are important. They, you know, if you don't have period protection, you can't go about your day. Mm. We all know that. You know, everyone
well, we
has
had the
a
stories about girls not going to school in some areas.
It holds
we?
You prisoner if you don't have the protection that you need. And so we were just absolutely determined that that is what we were going to do until it's sorted.
Right. Absolutely. Love it.
And so, you know, collaborations aren't straightforward. I'm sure there was lots of negotiation around, well, what will it look like? No.
Honestly.
Design. It was just like, let's start baking. And
I am a fussy, you know, I'm a designer myself, an artist, and I am fussy about the way things look. And I think it's incredibly important. But when Meredith sent it over, I was like, this is perfect. Mm. And we met, we went for a coffee in town, like before you even started them, I think. And we just clicked. And I think because we're both creative women who just feel very confident about our own abilities, maybe. But yeah, and collaborations can be difficult, but this one was easy as pie or macaron.
I made sure it was really important that I was really respectful to the work that Gabby had done so far. Mm. So I really researched what she'd done and made sure that we were contributing to that message, because I think it's really, really important for small social organisations and charities that you don't have other people coming in and trying to overtake the work they're doing or think that they know better, but really listen about what the needs are and say, I've had this idea, will it help? And if she'd said to me, actually no, I don't think it's right for us, then I would have been completely respectful of that. Alongside that, I really had some incredible help from some other women. So an incredible stylist, Lara Sawyer, that I work with a lot, who styled a photo shoot for me, and another female photographer that came on board. So it was a really kind of collaborative thing, but there was no issue at all. We just kind of got on with it.
Yeah. Was there a lot of product development though to get the right fillings, the right shape, the right blue cords?
I mean, the blue cord was probably the trickiest part, because I remembered we actually made them from raspberry sweets, so kind of that I remembered from a kid, and I remember that we couldn't find them anywhere. So we kind of, in the end, we got them from a very obscure shop, I think, somewhere in North London. But really, I mean, we make, Ulala specialises in special shaped macarons. So we do things like we make hamburgers, we've made little ham and lettuce sandwich macarons. And then with my other company, I create really large scale, experiential, immersive experiences. So I'm all about bringing ideas to life and making them a reality. So it really wasn't a problem at all. It happened very smoothly.
What would your top? So going back to the tip that you were giving before around, if you want to work with a social organisation and charity, you don't go in with your preconceived ideas. What are the other tips? Because I'm sure there are people at home saying, you know, I'm running a business and I would love to be able to give back, but they don't know where to start. What would your tips be?
I think the first thing is kind of really make sure that your values are aligned with the values of the people you're trying to help. You know, it would not have worked if I'd gone to Gabby and said, oh, I want to do something for you, but I don't really want to feature blood, or I don't want to talk about those sorts of things, or I'm embarrassed, or that it just wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have been on the same page. So really make sure that your values are aligned. Make sure you're not trying to take any time off them. Yeah. You know, Gabby's absolutely stretched to the maximum in terms of resource. And what I said to her, I said, this is all organised. I have a PR agency. I'm going to make these ourselves. We'll put them online. All you need to do is say yes, and we'll do everything else. And I think not taking from people. Yeah. What else would you say?
Well, like you said, like just listening to what we're already doing and just being like, adding to it. Mm-hmm. So, and not coming, what I just loved about Meredith's initial email was that she just came in and was like, I've done this. I've already thought of all of this all around, and I want to give it to you, basically. And as much as we do love collaborating with creatives that want to sort of get something going, like Meredith said, we're so, so stretched for time. And I think so many social organisations for social good are, I mean, I only work part time for Bloody Good. I'm a nanny as well. So I don't have time to sort of, I would love to, but I don't have time to sit and collaborate creatively, you know, the rest of the week. And so just to be able to just hand us an idea is incredible, but also just to be able to say, if you need to, you can change it.
Yeah, amazing.
And we didn't have to.
So these are macarons.
I got it right.
Yeah.
I got it right. Are they available for like a limited time or forever? Like, what's the plan?
So they're available on, online at www.ohlala, which is ohlala.co. That's www.ohlala.co. If you go on there, there is a whole page dedicated to the campaign. So just click through and you can buy them online. And they're still available. And Gabby and I have just been talking and we want to keep it running because people are still talking about them. Right. And it's really exciting that we can continue to bring awareness to this issue. And as Gabby said, until it's fixed, until, you know, women are able to, you know, across the UK and then globally are able to get sanitary protection when they need it, we'll keep it going.
Great. Look, well, thank you both for coming in. Thank you, Gabby, as well. And
where can we find you?
You can find us at bloodygoodperiod.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at bloodygood and Instagram at bloodygoodperiod. Oh, excuse me. And yeah, if you just Google us or look for us on Facebook, you can find us. And we need donations of pads all the time, and we need volunteers, especially if you're in London, and you can do a collection for us as well. But there's loads of ways to help, and of course you can buy amazing macarons,
which is at ohlala.com.
yeah,
wonderful. Thank you so much. We'll be talking about periods and more after the break.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is our favourite part of the show, I think. Badass balls ups. Mm-hmm. We talk about all the things that have happened in our lives and we try and provide solutions. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not so great.
And we've kept Meredith and Gabby in to help us this week. Wise words.
We're wise women. You can actually give us a call. If you want some help, give us a call and we will try and answer it over the next two segments. You can call us on 0344 499 1000, or you can text talk in your message to 87222. It will cost you 25p plus normal sending charges, or tweet us at Talk Radio. We will keep an eye out to answer any of your problems. First up, Em, do you want to go first? What's happened to you this week?
Well, I think it's less what's happened to me. It's more what I have observed, you know, when just lots of things happen. And there was some stuff that happened on Love Island, and there was stuff that happened to my mates, right? And I was like, okay, this is a thing. And my question is, how have you, if you have, learned how to deal with rejection? Because I looked at Laura in Love Island. She's been rejected by about three guys, I think, and manages to bounce her way back. And like dating, it's really hard when you get rejected. But just in life, you constantly have to deal with rejection at some point. And I think it's really, really hard to deal with. And I've got better at it over the years. But I just wondered what you ladies thought about rejection, whether you felt you handled it well. And if you do handle it well, what have you done to handle it well? There we go.
How did you learn? How did you learn? Who wants to?
I got some really good advice from my sister once, and she said to me, "You don't fancy Brad Pitt." And he's one of the best looking men in the world. So why is everybody going to fancy you that you fancy? Not that Brad Pitt fancies me, obviously. Yeah. But I've then taken that to different ways of thinking in my life. And so, you know, if I've been rejected for a job or by, you know, a person, I think, well, what are the other great things that I've rejected for other reasons? Mm. And often it's not really about that person. It is about where you are at the time. And maybe the job wasn't right for you, even though you were offered it, or an opportunity wasn't, you know, going to really give you what you were looking for at that moment. So if you can, don't take it personally, because, you know, Brad Pitt probably wouldn't take it personally that I rejected him.
Wait, but I always look at Beyonce. I'm like, God, even Beyonce's got haters.
Yeah.
You know, Nah, you handle rejection really well, I think. Do you?
It's a sort of a Teflon bounce ability. And it's partly back to that, well, if I'm not right for you, then I'm not right for you. But I'm right for me, and I really like me. So, you know, I'm winning regardless, especially at work. When you run your own business or you're running a project, you think that when someone says no, they're saying no to you. So the first lesson is to know that they're not saying no to you. They might be saying no to an idea, or the timing might not be right. And there's always something else. If it's meant to be for you, something else will turn up. And I always try and twist it and bend it. So maybe the way that I put an idea forward wasn't right, and I need to twist it or reshape it to get someone to say yes. So I don't see rejection as rejection. Is it in the negative form of rejection? It's just someone saying no because what's on offer isn't necessarily what they think they want at that time.
Interesting. What about you, Meredith? Yeah.
I think it's always really good to remember there's so many opportunities out there. And if you're thinking of a romantic level, there's, you know, that adage of there's plenty more fish in the sea. There really are, you know. And as we, you know, grow and change, what we want and need in our lives grows and changes too. So actually, what something that might really hurt at first, kind of later down the line, you look back and you're going, well, that just wasn't right. I mean, how many men have you looked back and gone, oh my God, I could never be with him later down. But also in a work situation, you know, there are, you just need to pick yourself back up and get back out there, because the more time you spend worrying about being rejected, the less chance you're giving yourself of getting the next opportunity. Mm-hmm. So from a work point of view, learn what you can from it, learn what wasn't quite the right fit, and move on to the next thing, because if it's meant to be, ultimately it is meant to be.
Yeah, I'm with you as well, Natalie. I think I've certainly, within like a business work context, rejection for me now is about self-improvement. So it's not rejection as it's an opportunity for me to like step things up. And like you were saying, you know, if somebody rejects an offer that you've put on the table, it's probably just it's not right, the timing's not right, or what you've put forward, you haven't understood them anymore. So yeah, I think it's
we know there are lots of people that are sitting in jobs or doing things because they've been told no, or they've been rejected, and they feel like if they ask again, they don't want to go through the pain of asking again. So they're sitting in a place of discomfort just because they don't have the wherewithal to ask. So I think we're saying ask, or
good
just
advice.
Let it bounce off you.
Good advice, ladies. And Natalie, I'm super keen to hear, what is your badass balls up this week?
So again, milking the fact that I walked 100K over the weekend.
Whoa.
When I got to 97 kilometres, because every moment in my life was measured by these bleeding kilometers over the weekend, I realized that I had to go past the finish line to see the stones. So the whole race was called Race to the Stones. The stones I had to walk at 1.5 kilometers to go and see, then come back on myself 1.5 kilometers to get to the finish line. And so as I got to the gate of the finish line to ultimately do a right to the finish line, whilst everyone was going straight to the stones, I suddenly thought, I can't. That's another 20 minutes and I'm in so much pain. And everyone was saying, but it's called Race to the Stones. You have to, you have to, you have to. And a woman that was laying on the grass, kind of catching her breath, said, rage against the machine. Don't do what everyone's saying that you have to do. And so I didn't go to the stones. I didn't walk the extra 20 minutes. I said, I'm going to the finish. And my best friend went because she was like, I have to see them. And I said, I'll wait for you here, but I'm racing to the finish. That is my objective. It is to finish. And I will not finish if I have to walk an extra 20 minutes. What would you have done in that situation? You're in pain.
Those two still look dumbfounded.
Everyone is going to these stones past the finish. And you're the only one not going.
No, because it depends upon what agenda did you set yourself? What was your goal? Like, that's your personal goal. Doing something like that, you're not doing it to show other people that you can do it. You're doing it because you set yourself, you know, that you wanted to do it. And some people were like, they wanted to see the stones. And for you, you just wanted to finish.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. It's like this whole idea of everybody doing something because everyone else is doing it. And potentially getting yourself to a point where actually when you got to the finish, you were in so much pain you couldn't appreciate it. I think you made the right choice. You did what you needed to do.
I think that's so feminist. You listened to your body and another woman and you raised it. I mean, what could be more like badass and feminist than that? To just be like, my body's saying no. Like, we don't listen to our bodies enough as women. Well, and you did.
I totally disagree, I've got to say.
Should have gone to the stage.
Just slapped the microphone and destroyed the studio.
How dare you?
I disagree because, I'll tell you why, maybe I'm a bit twisted like this, but I think that there is something about the psychology of achieving goals and that your body is capable of amazing things, and sometimes it is about a mindset. And I think that you should walk to the stones.
Just because of the mindset.
Because that was the course, that was the goal. And I think, yeah, I think there's something about having that finishing, you know, setting out and pushing your mental stamina.
Really?
Yeah. That's why when we did that run.
I just kicked my leg on the chair and the amount of pain I just felt.
But another 20 minutes weren't going to make any difference.
Yeah,
you were ruined on the first day.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I think there's something about the psychology.
Would you have judged me in that moment? Because there were people definitely there judging me. And lots of people saying, no, but you should. But you should.
If they judge you.
Should have, would have, could have. Listen to Beverly Knight.
There we go.
I wouldn't have judged you. But I do think personally, I think you're right. I think you have to do what is right for you. I think personally, I would have walked to the stones because of the psychological, mental stamina and pushing that. Because just because what I've learned, you know, I'm a bit of a runner and I never used to be a runner. And half the battle of being a good runner is developing your mental stamina. And I've seen how that mental stamina has pushed me through into other areas of my life. And I think it's a really easy thing to want comfort. We are, as human beings, we want the easy option. We want the quick win. Society is all about that. And I think there's something really valuable in that tenacity. That, like, just, yeah, doing
but you'd
it.
Already walked so far. Do you miss the stones? Did you get home
and
go?
I saw them on the way out.
There you
in
go.
The car. I was like, are these the stones? Oh, and there were lots of stones.
Were they a bit disappointing? You know, like, oh, there's just loads of stones.
It wasn't Stonehenge, I'm telling
you.
Can you
imagine the mental strength you would have had to go through to bother to go and see those stones? I think it would have taken you to another
level. You know what I was saying before about not being able to cry? I think I probably would have been able to cry had I walked those extra 20.
Well, then
20.
Maybe you should have done it just for that.
But yeah, I wasn't sure, you know, is that part of the finish to have gone to the stones, knowing that I would have to walk past the finish line and come back to the finish line? It was more about the fact that I had to walk past the finish line to go to them.
I think they did that
if
deliberately.
If they were en route, it would be different.
I think they did it deliberately. Why do they not just make the stones the end point? Why do they have to make
it? It's a national monument, so you can't, they couldn't do the big sort of finish set up there. Yeah.
But they could have set up differently. I feel like they almost did it to like see if they could break you at the end. Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was incredible what you did. And I'm seriously in awe of you.
Yeah.
Totally in awe of you.
See if I impress differently in a month. But that was my balls up.
Well, it wasn't a balls up, but I feel for you. I do.
Thanks,
Gabby, you've got a balls up for us this week.
Yeah, again, not necessarily a balls up, but just, you know, tricky. Like, I'm run Bloody Good Period and I'm a nanny and I've got a social life. How do I stop
How
spreading myself
you?
So thinly? I mean, I say I have one. I have WhatsApp. That's about it. Yeah, how do I not spread myself so thinly so that I'm not exhausted every Friday?
That's a really... I think that's a common challenge these days, isn't it? And I think the whole trend is everyone wants a side hustle, you know, which is essentially what Bloody Good Period was, and now it's become quite a main side hustle. And that is a constant battle because it's never ending, right? It's never ending who you could talk to, who you could do, who you could partner with or speak to. I think there's something about having a bit of a filter, being really clear on what your objectives are. I think there's also something around getting really good at delegation. That's something I've had to learn. Like, what can I... what can I ship out and what can I be effective? So like, I think for me, about a year ago, I just felt absolute overwhelm. And one of the things that was making me feel overwhelmed was my diary. Mm. And then I ended up finding like a virtual assistant. And I was like, can you look after my diary? And I didn't really think I could afford. And I thought, it's at least a day of my week, 2 hours a week. And she does all my diary, booking, everything. And that totally gave me more headspace to be more productive. So I think any of those sort of admin-y, anyone could be doing this apart from you, try and get rid of them if you can, would be my advice.
Good advice.
Yeah. Do you love everything that you're fitting into your busy, hectic schedule?
No. But, you know, when you're working with volunteers, it's very easy to feel very guilty about asking people to do stuff because they're giving their precious time.
Yeah.
So I try and give them stuff I know they'll love, but, you know, that doesn't always mean that I get to keep all the stuff I love.
You're not valuing your own time then, because you think their time's more valuable than your time. If you're saying their time is precious, your time is precious. Your time is the most precious. You're lovely.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. You know, the thing is, I've just been reading this book, Essentialism, and what it says is if you're spreading yourself too thinly, you really can't dedicate enough of yourself to the things you should be doing. And you're doing such incredible stuff. And actually, the reality is, what can you be doing that's the most valuable to where you want to go? And so every moment that you're not doing that, every time you're sorting something else, every time you're doing a task that someone else could do, you're not fully moving forward to the place you should be.
I'm going to say not just where you want to go, but also how do you want to feel? That was the shift for me, because I was so focused on and on to the next thing and on to the next board and on to the next one. I was like, but okay, I'm moving forward, but I just want to feel like this. I just want to feel content. I just want to feel happy. I just want to feel full. I just want to laugh. And so I organize my time to make sure I feel a certain way. And once I started doing that, even if I was tired, it was fine, because I was tired and laughing, or tired with people that enrich me. There are lots of times on a Saturday we're like so tired. we're hauling ourselves through the door. And then we get in and we're like, but we're with people that we love hanging out with, and we just have a good chit chat.
Do you find that you're busy, or are you busy and moving forward? Because sometimes I think that we can get very busy, but we're not actually driving ourselves forward. We're just...
Yeah. I think it is a combination of the two. And I think that is a really good point to like watch out for, when I'm just like busy. Yeah. And when I'm like busy and pushing.
Yeah.
And that is when I feel great, when I'm busy and moving forward, when I'm busy and talking to, being around people, but just being busy sort of packaging up pads, you know, isn't the best use of my time.
No, not for you if you're leading the organisation, but you could probably find lots of volunteers to do that.
Yeah, and you know what, they do.
Yeah.
they really do. Yeah. Yeah.
And do you know what you should say no to? Because that's just as important.
Well, I think it's difficult in the space that I am currently, because there's lots I've got to learn as well about running a charity. And so I would love to say no to the finance stuff. I would love to, but I think at the end of the day, I'm going to feel more enriched by learning stuff that I didn't want to learn. But I think, probably a big part of it is just saying no to the things that other people actually enjoy doing.
Yeah.
We've got volunteers who love doing data crunching, so I just need to let them do it and not feel guilty about it.
Yeah, so that's the hardest part about delegating. Yeah. I've always had that as well, where I'm like, oh, I can't give people the really, what I think are the bad jobs.
Yeah.
But then what I have to remember is some of those people really enjoyed that job. Yeah. It's just I don't like it.
Yeah.
And that's been a hard thing for me. But when you find people and you just let them run with it, they end up doing stuff a million times better than you would, and they love the ownership, and they'll probably develop your charity in a way that you would never expect.
That's true.
So like, give people some autonomy and go, look, you're in charge of data. I'm just interested in this and this and this. Go run with it and see what happens. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
me
cool.
too.
Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome.
Gabby, Edlin, Meredith O'Shaughnessy, thank you so much for joining us for our Badass Balls Up. 1, 2, 3, 4!
This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour, HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.